Previously on the Loyal Littles podcast.
I'm not trying to brag here at all, but I don't understand.
We've been out for 3 years plus.
Well, not only that, but when do they just think Chuck and who's Chuck and Roxy?
Yeah, right.
Like, I don't know.
I think a lot of them think it's like another DG thing. Like, oh, they're not real.
That's true.
This and is a fake.
Because
this is
of
just a funny
Greg
joke.
Garcia, it mm-hmm. doesn't help.
I know.
Because that dope still won't come on our podcast. I mean, oh, I mean, his, someday.
Someday, maybe.
Probably not. Welcome back to the Loyal Littles Podcast.
On the WTFC Podcast Network.
Hey, Roxy.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, Littles. Roxy.
Chuck.
Let's start with an email.
Okay.
Dear Chuck, sorry I must have deleted your email when I cleared out my spam folder. After seeing several emails about enhancing my manhood and notices for various packages that I'm not expecting and all types of gummies, I deleted all my spam, not thinking at the time your email might be in there.
Oh.
Please resend it, and I promise not to ask to be interviewed anymore. P.S. The only other name I'm known by is Uncle Big Guy. Sorry, I'm not a big incognito. Brad Siegel, episode TBD. Sure, Greg Garcia. Sure. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Should we dive right into that?
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to have a conversation with Lewis off air. We mm-hmm. won't bring him on the pod mm-hmm. because we're not going to air our dirty laundry.
That would be
laundry.
Very interesting.
It'd be awkward.
Yeah.
It'd be awkward.
Yeah.
We're not going to air our dirty laundry in front of all the listeners.
No.
But clearly, Lewis has some issue with Greg's people because Greg tweeted at us.
Yeah.
Or X'd at us. Is that what it's called now?
I don't know what yeah. it's called.
Yeah. It's basically saying, you know, called me out, as you heard in the open just now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, words matter. I understand that. I did call Greg a dope
yep.
for not wanting to come on the podcast. You know, I guess I'm issuing an on-air apology. I didn't mean anything by it.
We call ourselves dope.
Well, I think anyone's a dope that doesn't want to come on the podcast.
It's a term of endearment on this podcast.
And now it's now apparently Tony's even waiting for Greg's situation to get taken care of. That's what he says.
Yeah, right.
So I don't know what the hell is going on. We're going to have a conversation with Lewis.
Yeah.
I guess they've been in contact and they just can't work it out or they don't want to work it out. I think Lewis is a little just frustrated with so much on his plate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure why. I don't think it's Greg either. I don't think it's us. I don't think it's Greg. So for the record, Littles.
I think it's our people and his people.
Yeah. They just don't get along. I don't understand
why.
Get
it together.
They just can't get it. Yeah. That's the best way to say it.
Like, yeah.
We're going to try, though, because I think Greg would be a fantastic guest.
Oh, sure.
I really do. We even named our guest book after his show. You know, we have a guest book on our Loyal Littles Podcast website.
Yes.
And it says guest book.
Guest book.
That's where we came up with the name. That's not original. We named it after his TV show.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an honor. We have something on our website in honor of Greg Garcia, and he still won't come on our podcast.
Maybe
so.
His people are bummed that it doesn't say dedicated to.
Oh. Should we put something on our website?
Maybe.
The whole website should be dedicated to Greg Garcia. Episode zero.
Yes.
As we're saying.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, should we move on?
Let's move on.
It was fun, though.
Yeah.
Greg tweeted
at
us.
Oh, yeah. It was awesome.
Know? So lots to get into for this episode. Roxy, I found another interesting question. I don't remember. I feel bad because I can't give credit for it. It was not my original idea.
Uh-huh.
We have similar fun and dumb questions like this.
Yeah.
But this one piqued my interest because, you know, baseball season has just started.
Mm.
I love Wilbon toting that the NL Central, I think is what he said. Best division.
Is that what he said?
Yeah. He said it on PTI.
Huh.
Even though the AL East, all the teams are at the time of this recording, at least 500
yeah.
and above.
That's
and that's
good.
Not the case in his
yeah.
beautiful Central National Division. It's because the
That's
Cubs
That's a homer pick.
Yeah. No, it's totally a homer pick. But I'm sorry. The AL East, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah. Mm.
It's going to be a bad year. Anyway, I came across this question and it said, if you could travel back in time to see any one baseball player live, who would you choose?
Mm.
Now, that can be, you know, someone could answer our, if you could travel back in time, when or where would you want to go? And
right.
you could use this.
Right.
But this is very specific. And I think we could alter this because if baseball is not your favorite sport, you could change it to football or basketball or
right.
whatever sport, soccer.
Sure.
You know.
But we're talking baseball, right?
We're talking baseball. That's what it said. Now, I would try to hoodwink my answer a little bit. You know, I'd try to shenanigans,
yeah.
as we like to say.
Yeah.
Do you have one?
off the top of your head?
I mean, there are so many greats. It would be cool to see Jackie Robinson play. It would be cool to see Babe Ruth play. It would be really cool, honestly, for me to see the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League, like any of them.
That's true.
Yeah, that would just be really cool. So I don't know if I have a specific player necessarily in mind.
Okay.
But
yeah, mine kind of went to a game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's funny. I've been thinking about this ever since. We talked about this off air, and I gave her my answer. And it was honestly, I thought it was going to shock some people. It would be Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
That's who I think I would want to see.
I don't think that's very shocking.
Well, I mean, because being a Red Sox fan, I know he played for the Red Sox at one point, but I wouldn't want to see him then. I want to see him when in his heyday as a Yankee and all that stuff. But I will say this. I started tweaking the answer thinking maybe if I did it late enough. Now, I'm going to get beat up on this because I don't know the history well enough. But I'm pretty sure towards the end of his league, you had Joey D, maybe Mickey, you know, Roger, all those guys from the Yankees and Yogi. If all those people were playing at the same time together, please don't hammer me if I, you know, the dates, if I screwed that up.
Yeah, right.
But I would try to get it at a certain time, at a certain game against the Red Sox, where then I would have optimal people. So basically, you're seeing more than just one player. You're seeing like five or six amazing players in one game.
Yeah,
that's
that makes
the idea.
Sense. Okay. That makes sense.
Now, since then, I started thinking about this. If I wanted to go the selfish route, I wouldn't go back that far. I might say, now that I know the outcome, okay.
2004
game four to be at the World Series.
That would be cool.
When the Red Sox finally broke the curse and won the World Series, that would be cool.
That would be really cool.
Yeah, but that's almost kind of wasting it, I think, to be able to see, because that's just that's saying like, oh, I want to see David Ortiz play. You know, well, I did see David Ortiz because the question was very specific about a baseball player.
Right. Not necessarily a game.
Yeah, I don't think
team.
I can give up, even for the 2004 World Series, to be able to go see Babe Ruth.
The Colossus of Clout.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, now, of course, Teddy Baseball is obviously my favorite.
Yeah, right.
But it's that type of situation.
Yeah. I was also thinking it would be cool to see the very first baseball game ever played.
Yeah.
Like, what was that? When was that?
Well,
where was that? Who was that?
You'd have to find the player that was there.
Like any of them.
Yeah, well, right. You'd have to pick. Yeah, and then you're at that game.
Does anyone know that answer?
Oh, sure.
What's the very first game ever
played?
Well,
there's all these different, you know, versions of it. Yeah. But they say the first in Hoboken, New Jersey. Because remember, I used to play for the Hoboken Nine. Right.
Right.
It also
they were
depends.
The early one of the earliest
oh,
teams.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, I'm sure there's other versions out there.
Sure.
You know, Honus Wagner and all those guys that, you know, that would be another one to be able to see.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be a good one.
That's
I don't
a good
know.
Question,
it's
Chuck.
A good question. So I think we're going to put it into our rotation there.
Yeah.
So, all right, before we get to our great Meet the Littles guest, we have to get into some TV. Now, we finally watched La La Land.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to upset the person, I forget who it was, but he did. It was that person who said he'll be best friends, you know, if you know the movie, if they like the movie, you'll be best friends with the person. I forget who answered La La Land, but it was coincidental because we had it saved.
And
somehow.
We're not really sure why.
And we don't know why. I didn't push it. Now I remember I saw the first like 10, 15 minutes of it and shut it off. And now it wasn't because I didn't like that first 10, 15, something came up.
Yeah.
I had to leave. And then I just never went back to it. So Roxy, take it away.
I have some thoughts. I have some feelings. I thought it was good. I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
You know, I love him. She was great.
Can you give a little more information than that just in case?
Well, Ryan Gosling
I don't know that people know.
Emma Stone.
Okay.
I wasn't a fan of the ending, although I understand it. There's that. I also don't know if it needed to be a musical. I felt like there weren't enough musical numbers to make it make sense for me in my brain as a viewer.
Now, the funny part is most people would say most musicals are that. A lot of people would say the music, when they just stop the story and sing a song, it doesn't make... No, I'm with you. I love them, obviously.
There was, I think, a little bit more of a disconnect in this movie with it.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Than in others that I've seen. And like I said, I think there needed to be, if they were going to go for a musical, throw more numbers in there.
Well, especially after that opening number, which... Again, made no sense. It just comes out of nowhere. And you're like, what the hell?
Yeah, but I was okay with that. I mean, that's musical. Yeah. That's musical theater. You know, things don't always make sense, but there is a reason for it. And I felt like there wasn't really a reason for it.
Right.
In this. I mean, yes, he's a pianist.
You
so
did need some music.
You did need, definitely. You needed some music with the jazz and all of that. But the actual musical aspect of it, I wasn't so sold on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think it's a fine movie. I don't necessarily think I'll be watching it year in and year out.
No,
or,
no. We're not going to.
I think one is good. If I see it again, I see it again, but it's not going to be something that I'm running to. But
I agree with everything you said.
Yeah.
I don't even need to go into it because it was fine.
And I didn't didn't want it to end the way it did, although...
You kind of had to.
It kind of had to.
Yeah.
It made sense why it did. Yeah. I just didn't like it.
Well, of course, because it wasn't the, quote, happy ending.
Yeah. Spoiler, I mean, it was a happy ending. It just wasn't the one I was expecting.
Yeah, right.
So, which I guess is a good thing.
All right, now the big question for you. We're going to move on to reality TV, because that's really what we do here.
Yeah.
Are you going to sign up for Deal or No Deal Island?
You know,
came on the screen. It looks like there's going to be a season two. I know, they're looking for players.
Listen, there was that challenge where they had to stick their hands in a crate of snakes to get a key to unlock something. I'm not a fan. I think I'd be okay not doing
it. Well, I also think you can just opt out of that and just skip it, and then you'd have the lowest case and you risk going home.
Yeah, but that challenge was a team challenge, so then that would also put my partner at risk, and I wouldn't necessarily want to do that either.
Okay.
So I just don't think
I should go on.
To
stay in huts and eat. It's not like Survivor where you starve yourself.
That part of it is very nice. It's very bougie. It's bougie Survivor.
Yeah.
That part of it is okay.
I think
okay.
we should sign up. I do. I think it'd be fun.
Would you stick your hand in a pit of snakes?
Let's not talk about sticking our hands in places, okay? I'm calling shenanigans on the whole freaking game, though. Because of what happened.
You're
this
having
last
a really
week.
Hard time.
I am.
Yeah.
Because I think the producers decided who they wanted to stay and go home, and so they made this guy an offer he couldn't refuse.
Yeah. They started making personal offers.
Well, yeah, but the first one was like $10,000. Now they made one for $100,000. Now, that one I can see someone not wanting to turn that down.
Yeah.
You know, because that's money going in my pocket. Now I'm sure you have to pay taxes on it,
right?
But still, that's a good chunk of money,
right?
For some people, that is life-changing. Mm-hmm. I mean, for a lot it's not, but that's besides
but for
point.
A lot it is
for a lot it is. And I'm angry because, like I said, I think we all knew who was going home, and it's a fan favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the producers were like, oh, we can't let this person go home this
right.
week. And that's kind of interfering in the game, I think.
Yeah.
So,
but that's reality TV. So
I guess. Yeah. You know? I mean, it's worth checking out, though.
There are definitely a couple players that I cannot stand.
Yeah.
I'm just like, don't be like that. Like, play the game and be cutthroat in the game, but don't be a nasty human being while you're doing it.
Well, again,
there's a line.
They give us. Mm-hmm. So there's that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. So stay tuned. Maybe Chuck and Roxy will be on Deal or No Deal Island. I think it'd be fun.
I think you'd have a good time.
I guess.
I think I'd have a good time.
I'd probably
maybe.
Go home quick.
I liked the, what was it, the zip line? No, they weren't on a zip line. They were on like a bungee swing, and they had to toss a bag onto to land on a
certain case
value.
Yeah. Value of the case. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I liked that. That'd be fun.
The games are pretty fun. Well, even the one a couple nights ago that was on, you know, where they had to track a case through on a rope through like
Although,
muddy,
murky water.
Murky
I don't
water.
Know how I'd feel
well,
about that.
Well, they just saw that big snake too. That would do me in. Ooh. So, all right, maybe we're not something for it. Anyway, let's get to our Meet the Littles guest. Very interesting conversation we had here about flushing the mouse.
Yes.
That's all I'm going to say. You're not going to want to miss this one. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with
Meet the Littles.
Hi, this is Bob Sproul from Pittsburgh, and you're listening to the Loyal Littles podcast on the WTFC Podcast Network. Your best bet in podcast entertainment.
This episode by a band called Hot Left Pole, and this is off their album called The Highest Road in England, and it's called A Questionnaire. Now, this was sent in by band member Jared Booth, and if you like what you hear, you can give Jared a follow over on Instagram at JaredIsABooth, or on Spotify and YouTube, just search Jared Booth. That's JaredBooth. And as always, we will play the full song, A Questionnaire, at the end of the podcast.
Late afternoon, sleeping in the chair dreaming of you, but you never there.
All right, all you loyal littles, it's now time to
meet the littles.
And Roxy.
Chuck.
We're learning a lot about time zones today.
We are.
Okay. Let's see. What do we got going? We got Pacific time.
Yes.
But he's maybe driving into mountain time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Well, let's get to the bottom of this. Please welcome to the podcast, Wynn Mossman. Hey, Wynn, how's it going?
It's going well. Good morning.
Well, we've had to reset the board to zero already once, so you're seeing my mad editing skills.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's get right, because I was taken aback. Okay. You were like on your form, you filled out your form a little bit. And you, first things first, you think you're the first guest that we've had on this podcast from Idaho, which could be true.
Mm-hmm.
Could be very true.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember every time where everyone's from. I know we've had some people from out in the Pacific Northwest,
yes,
so to speak.
Yes. But Idaho, I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. So, littles, what say you? Who'd we forget? Otherwise, when you're going to have the distinction of being the first.
Right.
Now, I was a little taken back when, I don't know why I even asked. I said, what time zone are you in? Because you were telling us Idaho is split up into two time zones, right?
Yes.
Okay. And Roxy over here, Miss Roxy, was like, oh, yeah, right. I know.
Yeah.
I was like, come on. You didn't know. All right. So I was genuinely did not know it's in Pacific.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So is it a large chunk of Idaho that's in Pacific time zone?
Just the northern part of Idaho. So just the kind of panhandle. So both in terms of population and size, most of that is in the south.
Okay.
And my understanding is they didn't want to split the south between two time zones because the line between mountain and Pacific would have cut southern Idaho in half.
Mm-hmm.
And so they dragged us into a Pacific time zone.
Gotcha.
Interesting.
Okay.
I find it very interesting, actually, because I don't know. I just, Idaho, when you think Pacific time zone, you think West Coast. You know, you think Washington,
exactly.
Oregon, mm-hmm. California, obviously, mm-hmm. obviously some parts of Nevada. You know, it's so interesting.
Right.
But listen, let's meet you first. Let's go back, introduce yourself to all the lay littles. Tell us a little something about yourself.
Let's see. I've always hoped someone would begin this by riffing on Dr. Evil and saying that the details of my life were quite inconsequential. But my name is Wynn Mossman. I'm a lawyer in Moscow, Idaho. I was born in Lewiston, Idaho, the youngest of five children. When I was about 12, my father was appointed a judge. We moved 30 miles north to Moscow. I graduated at the creatively named Moscow High School, Go Bears. Went to a little junior college that no longer exists in southeastern Idaho, in the Mountain Time Zone, actually. Ritz College, played football there, went to Japan, lived in Japan for a couple of years, came back to Ritz College, went to the University of Utah in Salt Lake City, graduated there, went to University of Idaho for law school, and then started practicing with my father here in Moscow, and have been here ever since.
Okay.
So you always wanted to be a lawyer, would you say?
Yeah. My dad was a good man, a good lawyer. He lived the sort of life he wanted to emulate, so he seemed happy, and I thought I could be happy being a lawyer.
Excellent.
Nice.
That's so nice when you know.
I know.
I always wanted to be a lawyer, mm-hmm. and then I realized how much schooling was involved, and mm-hmm. I was like, maybe not so much. I mean, even later in life, when they have these online courses, you know, I wanted to, I think the major's criminal justice.
Mm-hmm.
And all my friends were just like, you've been watching too much Law & Order.
Yeah,
they're
right,
like, that's
right.
not for you.
Yeah.
It's not for you. But, you know, the listeners know my parents were both cops.
Yeah,
and
right.
so I always had a passion for the law and mm-hmm. stuff like that and just to learn more about it. And
mm-hmm.
So I thought maybe that would be my route. And I became a drummer instead. So go figure. So now you brought up Japan.
Yeah.
And love to know more about that because you also put on your form here that that had to do with one of the emails that was right on the TK show, right?
Right, yeah. So the junior college I went to was Ritz College, which is a church school of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, what a lot of people call the Mormon Church.
Mm-hmm.
And I went down there, went to school, played ball for a year, mostly just stood on the sidelines, but had a great time. And then went to Japan and was in Japan for about a year and a half. I lived in Kyoto. I lived in a little town. Well, it wasn't a little town like what I live in, but it's a suburb of Osaka.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And then I went from there to probably almost a year in Okinawa.
Oh, wow.
We're heading back there in about 4 weeks. My wife and I are going to go over there for a couple of weeks. And it's the first time I've been back in 40 years. So
oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Cool.
All right. Well, let's jump here so we can get into some of this stuff about, especially about the emails. But first, how did you become a little and, you know, when did you start listening to Tony and all that stuff?
Let's see. My morning routine was I would listen to PTI. And I think on one of the occasions where he was, the show was going to be off for 4 days for some reason, I was just looking around for something else that was PTI related.
Mm-hmm.
And stumbled upon Tony's podcast and started listening. And that's become now a 3 days a week part of my routine, mm-hmm. morning routine ever since.
Yeah. Same exact thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Same exact. It's amazing to me. Well, now I think he's better at on PTI. Occasionally, he'll be like, "Hey,
he'll
had so and so on the podcast this morning or whatever." So you'd kind of be like, "Well, wait, what does that mean?" Mm-hmm. And you'd be like, "You know, if you didn't know about it." But back in the day, we didn't.
So I tried to get other people to listen and told them about. Yeah, a lot of people my age have, of course, seen PTI, but I told them you'd really love this podcast. It's funny. It's smart. It's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, the hard part I find is when you tell what I'm just going to say normal people, especially in our business, the entertainment business, because a lot of them aren't into sports. So when they hear, oh, it's a sports podcast, I'm like, well, sort of.
Yeah.
I mean, well, you know, the middle segments are usually, you know, Jason Lockenfor or someone like that, you know, coming to talk about football. And, you know, so it is to that. But overall, I'd say not so much, you know, because, I mean, he also gets into their personal lives a little bit. And that's kind of what we try to do. And when we're fortunate enough to have the bigs on, and it's always fun when we discover something that Tony had no idea about.
Right.
You know, he has these people on this podcast every month or sometimes every week. And all of a sudden we discover something like, oh, Tony didn't know that. That's always fun. Mm-hmm. And that's why we do this.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to connect this, though, with you had on the forum, my one in a million email resulted in a man I knew 40 years ago in Japan writing into the pod. We got to hear that story.
Yeah, so my one in a million story in summary was that I was in Kyoto, Japan, and I knocked on a door. A lady came to the door, said, you know, finally got out of me that I was from this little town in Idaho, walked back in, brought out an American woman. The American woman looked at my name tag that I had and then read my name and said, oh, you must be Barbara Mossman's boy. And that's my mother. And that story was read, and another guy who was a missionary at that same time serving in that same area wrote in and said, you know, I knew this guy back in Japan at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was, at the time he wrote in, he was living in somewhere overseas. He's a lawyer, was practicing international law. And I had not heard from him since probably 1980. And then he contacted me and we exchanged a few emails. Nice to get in touch. Great guy.
Nice.
That's amazing.
That's so cool. It's like small world moments, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, huge world, but small world. Yeah,
right, exactly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you hear these stories from, you know, oh, I so-and-so from Japan.
Yeah,
you
right.
That's like
right.
crazy.
Oh, it blew my mind. I was cold and homesick and near the holidays and, you know, there we were just endlessly knocking on these doors with people saying, no, thanks, no, thanks, no, thanks. And then this woman brightened my day. It was an event I still remember.
Now, here's another one that's sort of related. It says, I was once contacted by a colleague to provide assistance on a case in Idaho whose sole reference for me was that he'd heard an email read on the TK podcast.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. A lawyer who, I can't remember what he did. He handled construction law. That's right. He did construction law cases. And they had a client who had a project in Idaho that had apparently something was had gone south, and I get this phone call, and I call the guy up, and he almost immediately says, hey, La Cheeserie, and starts talking to me about the podcast, and that's how he found me.
Wow.
That's so funny. Did it work out okay? Everything?
Well, interestingly, you should ask, because we've been talking about this. His case was in Boise, and I said, you know, I can absolutely help you out, but it's a little out of my practice to be going to Boise for cases. And so we connected him with some lawyers in Boise, as I recall, that could help him.
Oh, okay, great.
Cool.
That's perfect.
Nice.
That little's helping little.
I know. It's great.
That's so great.
It's so great.
Well, listen, we've got a lot more to get into, but let's take a quick break because we've got some other things on the forums and, you know, our traditional questions. Mm-hmm. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with
Meet the Littles.
This is the Loyal Littles Podcast with Chuck and Roxy.
Let me tell you a story about a man named David Aldridge, a colleague of Tony Kaye. Left the radio show to hit the road and cover the NBA. And did he ever return? No, he never returned. But you can see him every night on Turner Network Television. Reporting courtside in a sports arena, he's a man who never returned. Well, the life of a reporter can be degrading, taking crap from Popovich. What Aldridge wouldn't give to be back at the station, relaxing with a Subway sandwich. But every night as Tony eats his dinner by the sink, his eyes fill up with glee. He calls Alan Bubis and says, "Drop everything! Aldridge is on TV." And did he ever return? No, he never returned. It's the legacy of David Stern and Adam Silver. The NBA lasts 13 months a year, but we hope he will one day return.
Welcome back to the Loyal Littles Podcast. And Roxy, we're lucky enough to have Wynn Mossman here with us.
Yes.
Learning a lot about Idaho, talking a lot off air. Finally, which is like, we got to hit record here. Well, let's go into it. You were saying how you were catching up on some episodes. I believe it's episode 295. Glenn Burgetts. I'm doing that off the top of my head. Roxy's going to check my math. I think it is. And he, of course, is one of the members of Norwegian Soft Kitten. Now, you were talking about how you thought it would be a good idea. And we have done this where people, Roxy just said poetically, that our podcast is where the Tony Kornheiser emails go to die.
Yeah.
So if you have an email that hasn't been read, send it our way. But I will say, I've sent emails where a month later, sometimes longer, all of a sudden out of nowhere, they get read. So do you remember when Tony started, we were kind of like, wait, has he been listening to our podcast? Because we started doing that, and all of a sudden, he's reading emails from like 8 months prior.
Right, right.
Okay? So we were like, huh, I wonder how that's going. You know, I don't know. It was just a little weird.
A little coincidental.
A little coincidental that they started doing that, which we thought was great. Because now I think people are afraid to send them to us because maybe eventually they will get read.
Exactly, yeah. And I think you hit that on the head. You said 295?
I believe I had that.
Yeah, 295.
I believe I had that. So yeah, I mean, that's always fun. And then you have to say, what was your, you wrote in to the TK show, but it wasn't read. And you said you were giving names for bands, right?
Well, I just sent in, he had had a discussion about who's your fifth head of greatest coaches of all time.
Right, the Mount Rushmore discussions.
Yep. Well, yeah, the Mount Rushmore discussion, then he said, you got to have a fifth head. You got to have had somebody.
Yeah, some topics and you just can't do four.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. And so I don't, there's something about that phrase that sort of rung in my head, and I sent an email and said, the fifth head would be a great name for a band.
Yeah.
The fifth head. And then if you assume there's going to be five members of said band.
Which one is?
And then you have to pick, you have to figure out which one's the fifth head.
Yeah.
Our version of that would be called the third wheels. Mm-hmm. The third wheel. Mm-hmm. That would be the name. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. No, that's fantastic. Now, a question I love to ask, especially people like yourself who live in a state like Idaho. I know you have some great universities there, but you don't have any really professional sports. Okay.
No.
So what is your favorite? Do you have a favorite sport? And then so which teams do you follow? Because we were talking off air before you got, you're up very close to Washington, right?
Right.
And then Montana's right on the other side.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of guessing, but maybe not. What's your favorite sport? What's your favorite teams? Things like that.
Let's see. Well, my father and grandfather were college athletes and they kind of played a little bit of everything. And so in my home, you played and watched all sports. And so my favorite sport is whatever's in season. I'll watch whatever's on.
But I'm guessing, so you get the Seattle teams, I'm guessing?
Yes, but I was raised in an era when the Raiders were great. And so the Raiders.
Raiders.
I have suffered through the Raiders for decades now. But that's my team.
It's funny because one of our third wheels, Tiny Chuck, is obviously a diehard Chefs fan, as I call them. And so he hates the Raiders.
Yeah,
you know?
Right,
and
right.
I don't know. There's always just been something about, I don't know. I always like the villain, you know, that villainy team. And that's them for sure. That fan base.
Yeah.
Even though Philly's fan base is probably worse. But
Well, and I just think it's the greatest uniform logo in all sports. And then my baseball team is the Sox and my basketball team is the Celtics.
Wait,
which
socks?
Which color socks?
Oh, is there another one? Is there any other? It's the Red Sox.
Oh, good. Okay. Phew, okay.
All right.
Which is kind of cool because my dad was a big, big Yankees fan, but he was man enough to be able to pick your team. You do whatever you want.
Oh, see, mine, same thing, but not man enough to say. I'm sure I ruined his life. I ruined his life forever when I became a Red Sox fan. Now, it's funny when you were saying that, we're sitting here on, you know, like bated breath here. And Littles, we have the form, and it says, are there any questions you're not comfortable answering? And so it just says, if the call suddenly drops, you'll know I wasn't comfortable. I felt like that was going to be this moment where, like, all of a sudden we're like, okay, thanks for coming on the Loyal Littles podcast. No, look, we respect all socks.
Yeah, but what brought you to the Red Sox and even the Celtics? Yeah.
Let's see. The Red Sox was, until I was 12, we lived in Lewiston. That was a baseball town. And my brothers and I played this baseball card-based game, ABPA baseball, and we played that endlessly. And the year I sort of started paying attention to all that, Fred Lynn and Jim Rice were just having these great seasons for the Sox. And so I just became crazy for the Sox at that time, and I've hung with them ever since. I've never even been to Fenway Park. I've seen the Sox play the Mariners in Seattle. I have a high school friend who's a roadie for Pearl Jam, and somehow he knew Theo Epstein. And, I ended up with seats where I was literally whatever row one is, where you could just lean over the fence and touch the field.
Oh, my gosh. Amazing.
Right by the Sox dugout.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's my lone experience seeing the Red Sox live. Celtics was back when Cowens and JoJo White and Paul Silas and those guys were with the Celtics. I started watching them and then hung on until Bird came to town, and have loved them ever since.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right. And then let's bring this full circle with the TK stuff. You also wrote on here, Flush the Mouse resulted in one of my daughters emailing Uncle Tony.
Ooh.
I wrote in to Tony and suggested that flush the mouse would be a phrase that could be used for situations in which people panic. And I've sort of watched in slapjawed amazement as that phrase has now been used on a bunch of podcasts and warms my heart every time.
Yeah.
And my oldest daughter wrote in and just a funny email about flush the mouse. And I was getting ready for the day, listening to the podcast, and all of a sudden, I hear her name called, and her funny email was read. It was hilarious.
Oh, my gosh.
That's so exciting.
Now, is she a little as well?
No. She, I think she talks to my wife, who has to endure me whenever an email is read of mine or whenever I, you know, flush the mouse is used. I walk in and kind of smile and play it for her. And so I think my wife probably told her that your father has this strange dedication to this podcast.
That's a very nice way to put it.
Yeah,
dedication.
We call it a cult.
Exactly.
You know, so, you know, it is. Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's the recovery meetings I go to. They call it a cult as well.
Right.
So, yeah, she found that out from my wife and then wrote in. I think she really didn't have any understanding of
what she was doing.
You don't just write in and get your email read.
Yeah,
you know,
right. Sure.
She's probably one for one.
Yeah, right.
You know, most people are 5 and 11, if that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think she's, you know, now she's going to hang it up and go, well, that was easy.
I'll move to it.
Meanwhile, all of you are breaking your backs trying to come up with like clever emails.
Yeah, exactly.
And they don't get read. That's so funny.
I'm ignoring billing clients and sitting at my desk trying to craft a witty email.
Smart and funny.
Yep.
Well, you tell your daughter, let's see if she gets past the Chuck and Roxy test and gets an email read on the Loyal Littles podcast.
Right.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So funny.
Well, Wynn, we can't thank you enough for taking the time to come on and meet the Littles. Now, I'm sure you know we have some fun, dumb questions for you. We hope that's okay.
I've often been called fun and dumb.
All right, perfect.
All right.
All right, Roxy, start us off.
Which TV family is most like your own?
Can I hang up now? We have 6 children. It was just a madhouse.
Wow. I'm thinking 8 is enough, right?
Yeah, I should say 8 is enough, but don't tell my wife that because we have 6.
Okay.
So. Well, I'm counting you and your wife.
Yeah, sure.
So that's
there we go.
That's the 8, right?
There we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
8. Yeah. 8 is enough. I'll go with that. Great suggestion.
All right. How about if you could be an Olympic athlete, in what sport would you want to compete?
Oh, 100 meter dash.
Yeah. That's the go-to. That's Tony's favorite.
That's the one that gets all the play. Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. Which is interesting because I got to be honest, to me, marathon runner is much harder. You know, like if you can break a record at running 26.2, I mean, that's just crazy to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the 100, I mean, I guess you're the fastest person.
Yeah.
So that's good. I don't know.
And anyway. It's over quick. You don't have to.
I guess I'm just saying that because I'm not quick. So that's.
I'm just thinking my own television attention span.
Yes, so that too.
That's true too.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, it's a kid thing for me. Little side story here. No, because, I was bullied. I was picked on. I think we all were probably in some way at some points. But this one made me laugh. What do they have that? They call it field day at the end of the school year where they have all these little things.
And,
okay. So no one would ever want to run. Ours, the big one was the mile. Okay. Well, for a 6th, 7th, 8th grader, that's a big deal.
Yeah, right.
And all the jocks would join. And by the 3rd lap, some before that, they're like off to the side puking their brains out. Now, mind you, I was a whole 3/4 of a lap behind them, okay? But I would end up finishing like 3rd, which was huge for me.
Right.
I wasn't a real athlete. I was I was a music geek, you know?
Yeah.
But the fact that I could just finish, that was because these guys, they would take off like it was a sprint and they'd get like not even a half mile and they'd be off to the side puking their brains out.
Yep.
It was great.
Yep.
It was great. Sorry.
Yeah.
Eat it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Eat it, bullies.
There you go. Right,
exactly. All right, Roxy, what do you got?
What do you think is the greatest invention of all time?
Oh, it's both the greatest and the worst, and it's the internet.
I was going to say that when you said that. Yep.
Yeah, it's great information and terrible information all at the same time.
Yep, absolutely. All right, if you hosted Saturday Night Live, who would you want to introduce as your musical guest?
No question, the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
Cool.
Good answers.
All right.
Good answers.
Yeah. And you might be able to hang out with them after.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Pretty cool.
Exactly. Well, those that are left.
Yeah.
In fact, the friend of mine who's the roadie I told you about, one year he gave me a Keith Richards guitar pick, which sits in a hallowed spot behind my desk at work.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. Would you rather have the ability to control the weather or talk to animals?
The weather. I would make it warm whenever I wanted, but just let weather generally run its course. Playing golf.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. All right. And if you could invite 2 TV characters to your next birthday party, who are you choosing and why?
Oh, that's another one that has to my
living or dead. Because if you want Archie Bunker there, you can have him.
Yeah, right.
That would probably be one of mine.
I'm old enough. I was going to say W.C. Fields.
Okay.
No. Let's see. 2 TV characters, living or dead. Oh, Kojak.
Oh, yeah.
I thought Kojak was pretty cool back in the day.
Yeah.
Oh, and my siblings would say Speed Racer as a fictional character.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I was a big Speed Racer fan as a kid.
Okay. All right. Excellent. All right, Roxy, let's do some rapid fire.
Okay. Coke or Pepsi?
Coke of the diet version.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Cat person or dog person?
Definitely dog.
Crunchy or smooth peanut butter?
Crunchy.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Trek. The half blue faces blew my mind as a kid.
Okay.
Cake or pie?
Cake of the chocolate variety. Only.
Okay.
Excellent. Well, let's end with this one. How about Uranus jokes, not funny or never not funny?
The butt of all jokes are always funny.
There you go. That's a good way to put it.
I love it.
All right. Well, Wynn, we can't thank you enough for coming on to Meet the Littles. Now, plug anything you've got, and how can people get in touch with you if you want to be gotten in touch with?
How about if I plug my wife is a travel hacker on Instagram. And,
okay.
And the account is Flying the Nest for Cheap.
Ooh.
And,
nice. Yeah.
Getting in touch with me, there are very few lawyers in Moscow, Idaho. You could probably find me on the internet.
Just Google you, probably. Right.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Send mail deliverable to Lawyer Moscow, Idaho, and it'll probably land on my desk.
All right. Sounds good. All right. And as an homage to the big show, we'll get you out of here on this.
Over or under?
Over with a bidet twist.
Oh.
With a bidet twist.
Nice. We talked about bidets a while ago. Yeah.
Well, that was because we had Pablo Torre on mm-hmm. the podcast, and that was his one thing to plug.
Yeah.
He was plugging everyone to get a bidet.
Uh-huh.
That was his thing.
I mean, are we savages? I mean, really? Are
right. No, look, I'm a big fan. I was in Japan one time, and holy cow, changed my life. Still don't have one here.
No.
But yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Great.
People have had that experience in Japan. We all just fist bump each other in public. Like, yeah, right. That's uh-huh. right.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. You probably won't get this, but I was on the Rent tour that year, and mm-hmm. there's a song called No Day But Today. Mm-hmm. And our motto, we almost put it on shirts, was No Day But Bidet.
Yeah,
is
right.
what we were going to have on the yes. shirts for the Japan yes. tour. So, yeah. Works well.
Yeah.
Yep.
Copyright that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
Wynn, thank you so much for coming on to Meet the Littles. We had a great time. Thanks again.
Wonderful. Thank you.
All right, all you loyal listeners.
We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Aaron Moss from North Potomac, Maryland, and you're listening to the Loyal Littles Podcast on the WTFC Podcast Network.
Welcome back to the Loyal Littles Podcast, and thank you, Wynn Mossman, for coming on to Meet the Littles. We also had a jingle in there. It just says Dylan from Los Angeles. So
okay.
I have no idea who that is.
Hello.
I don't think we've ever had a Dylan on the podcast.
No, we haven't.
So what up?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I wouldn't have no idea how to get in touch with him.
No.
Really funny, though. Really good. Mm-hmm. In the NBA world for the playoffs starting.
Yep.
We don't do sports here.
Sort
of. Play-in games are cracking me up, but that's okay. Roxy, before we get to the email, we had a couple of these need-to-know facts.
Okay.
Now, we don't take full credit for these, or more importantly, we don't take credit if they're not true. Because Roxy, some of these, I'm not so sure.
Don't hold it against us, Littles.
Yeah. I mean, some of these, the two I have in front of me, I think could possibly be true.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the other ones we've done in the past, I'm like, I'm not so sure. Roxy, how do you get your vitamin C, Miss Workout?
Miss Workout?
Yeah, that's your thing now. That's all you do. You teach fitness.
I do.
So how do you get your vitamin C?
I mean, I take supplement or...
Like if you had
orange juice.
Okay, orange juice. Mm-hmm. Real orange juice, not the concentrate stuff.
Or, you know, eat an orange or okay. a cutie.
Did you know... Strawberries have more vitamin C than oranges.
You know, I knew they had vitamin C in them, but I did not realize they had more than oranges.
Oranges are famous for the amount of vitamin C in them.
I do like strawberries.
Pirates would routinely bring them on their month-long voyages in order to keep the scurvy and dangerous sickness brought on by the lack of fruits and vegetables
not
at bay.
The scurvy.
Yes, that's what it says. Well, strawberries would like a word with oranges because strawberries actually contain more vitamin C than oranges. You only need approximately 5 strawberries per day to get nearly 100% of your daily vitamin C requirements.
Wow.
Now, I always wonder why. Well, let me just finish it.
How big of a strawberry?
Well, first of all, and then it says you need over 1 orange to get the same effect. Now, I always get this.
How much is over 1?
Well, this I get.
Like
this
one
is where
and
I
like
get
a little
suspicious.
Piece or 1.5?
Why would you word it this way? You need approximately 5 strawberries per day. Why wouldn't you just say 8? It's saying to get nearly 100%. Why wouldn't you cap it at the number where you know you're getting your 100%?
Yeah.
This is a little... This
sketchy.
Is
sketch
this,
ball change.
Exactly, as we say in the business.
In the dance
it's
world.
It's a little sketchy. Like, yeah. Why wouldn't you just figure out what 100% is?
Right.
I get 5 is a lower number, so it sounds more impressive, but... I'm sorry.
I don't know.
What's the if you only need 5 to almost be 100, what's the most? It can
they
be 8?
They should do it in weight, like grams, because 5 strawberries.
Well, that's
like
true,
because
like you said, the size of the strawberry matters.
They vary in size.
Size matters, Roxy.
So,
okay.
You know, I don't know.
All right. Let's move on to the next one. This one totally not even related, but Dolph Lundgren, I think that's how I say his name, shares an IQ with Albert Einstein.
Who is the first name?
Yeah, exactly. I knew you weren't going to, because you wouldn't watch any of these movies with me.
Oh.
Dolph, the actor known for playing Ivan Drago in Rocky IV, he's the Russian guy.
Oh.
And for his role in the Expendables films, is not quite the dummy that he usually plays on the big screen.
We did watch the Expendables.
Did I?
Yeah, that was the one where you were like...
Is that the one my sister?
You couldn't believe that I watched it and
that
I was
in that
laughing.
Because there's like 5 of those, right? Maybe he's not in the one we saw.
Maybe. Well,
he might have been.
Maybe.
Anyway, it says the 6'5 Sweden has a master's degree in chemical engineering and a shockingly high IQ of 160. He shares this IQ score with the well-known genius Albert Einstein, who famously invented the theory of relativity, among other things. If he did not make it as an actor, Lundgren planned on going into chemical engineering.
Whoa.
That I believe.
Okay, yeah.
You know, a little something to fall back on.
Sure.
But to have the same IQ, now, is a 180 a high? I don't even know.
Well, if Albert Einstein had it, then it must be high.
Okay, this is going to be hilarious. The only thing I'm relatively connecting it with is there was a movie. I know we've talked about these movies with Gary Coleman growing up.
Yeah,
the kid with the broken halo, the kid from left field.
Uh-huh.
There was another one about the Boy Scouts.
Okay.
But there was one called The Kid with the 300 IQ, I think.
Oh.
I think it was 300. So that's why I'm thinking if 180, like, that's not that high. Right? Now, if that's the truth, I'm probably at like 5. Okay, wait a minute. Here it is. It was called The Kid with the 200 IQ, not 300. It came out in 83, a made for a TV movie. And of course, it had Robert Guillaume in it. He was in The Kid from Left Field and, you know, some of the other ones.
Yeah.
February 6, 1983 on NBC.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So 200, I guess, is the highest. So yeah, 180 is pretty good.
Okay, well.
I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of curious what mine is now. I'm going to stay with 5. I'm going to guess 5.
Okay.
It's got to be higher than 5.
It's got to be higher
than
5.
It's got to be higher than 5. I don't know. I hope I'm not making fun of anything. I don't know.
I don't know.
I have no idea how these things are done or equated or
whatever. They do tests and things, but I don't know.
Let's just get onto the email before Chuck gets in
trouble
here. Okay. Dear Chuck and Roxy, so it sounds like the explanation you got for the Jewish lunar calendar needs a little more explanation. So here we go. When they say there is a leap year, 7 of 19 years, it means that every 19-year cycle, 7 of those are leap years, specifically the 3rd, 6th, 8th, 11th, 14th, 17th, and 19th.
Oh.
In a leap year, they have the month of Adar twice, Adar 1 followed by Adar 2. Adar is the 6th month of the Jewish year, about the same time as February. The holiday of Purim happens during Adar and in a leap year is celebrated during Adar 2. But some also celebrate Little Purim during Adar 1. Okay, I'm done with this. There's too much math involved in this.
I know.
And there's just too much. All right. Also, he says, the word distaff refers to the female side of something. When I referred to the distaff Ghostbusters, I was referring to the quote-unquote underappreciated Whig, McCarthy, McKinnon, Jones version. And I assume you heard Greg Garcia on The Big Show last week lighting you up regarding his invitation to your podcast. I'm still trying to figure out who I believe. Yeah, us too.
Yeah.
It's Lewis's fault.
Yep.
Thanks again, as always, for the delightful job you do. Mike Wolf, episode TBD.
Nice.
Yeah. Now,
nice.
Oh, wait, what's that? Hold on. I'm just getting a text message. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Hey, it's Ritz with another Hebrew pronunciation guide. The Hebrew month is Adar. We just had the leap month of Adar 2. Now we're in the month of Nisan. Later.
Oh, sure. Okay, great.
Adar.
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 Okay. I mean, I'm just throwing this out there. Some people said it didn't matter, but
they did. Yeah, that's
anyway,
interesting
all
too.
Right. You got the next one.
I do.
Another math problem, I think.
Yeah. Hi, Chuck and Roxy. I am enjoying listening to everyone trying to figure out the Hebrew calendar, which is quite confusing, even to Jews. First, it is a very old calendar. We are currently in the year 5784, which began this past Rosh Hashanah, which basically translates to head of the year. Rosh Hashanah typically occurs in September or October. Second, the calendar began as a lunar calendar with each new month starting just after a new moon, known as Rosh Chodesh, pronounced Chodesh, with the first H rolled like Halach or
that first,
Hanukkah, and translated as head of the month. Thus, because of the lunar cycle months are 28 to 30 days. Additionally, Jewish days start just after sundown, so holidays begin at night and continue through the next sundown. In some cases, a holiday is more than one day, so you can celebrate it at the same time the holiday is actually occurring in Israel. As previously stated, in order to maintain the timing of holidays with the seasons, the Hebrew calendar adds a month in a leap year every so often. This month is a second month of Adar. So there are 13 months in a leap year. I'm sure this is way more in the weeds than anyone needs, including myself. P.S. Greg Garcia says you are snubbing him and he can't get on your pod. What gives? Mo number 86 and 250 third wheel, Mo Werner.
Mo, talk to Lewis. Give Lewis a call.
You know,
I don't know what his problem is. He just doesn't
maybe
want him
I
on.
Need to get involved. I don't know.
I don't. Yeah, maybe Roxy should step in.
Maybe.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, we got to get away. That's way too much math for me. This one's almost as bad though.
Okay.
Hi, Chuck and Roxy. Of course, you are welcome to include the links I sent you. Now, this is from Michelle Pendleton, episode 45.
Uh-huh.
She sent us a few links. They were YouTube links, and it had her son on it. And yeah. I just didn't know. I thought maybe. I guess if it's on YouTube, it's fair game. But I just wanted to make sure before we just start. Yeah. They are available to anyone on YouTube, so you aren't exposing any secrets. She says. And I would love for more of the Littles to appreciate these kids the way I do. First has three levels of competition. The first Lego League for elementary school kids.
Ooh.
First Tech Challenge for middle school and some high school students. And the first robotics competition, FRC, is what my son's team competes in. So now, wait a minute. Let's go back. You're telling me elementary, there's a competition for
Legos?
That sounds cool.
That sounds really
cool. I would have totally been on board with that.
Oh, yeah.
All right. She says Spectrum 3847 is a smaller team, but the five kids in the Behind the Bumpers episode are only a fraction of it. I would say we have about 40 to 50 kids in our program. Okay,
whoa.
This is starting to all make more sense now. Littles, if you saw these videos and these robots that these kids are building, that makes a little more sense to me.
Yeah.
There are teams that are much, much bigger. This week, about 50,000 people are expected to be at the George R. Brown Center for the three levels of competition.
Wow.
To answer your question about the music, each year has a theme, and this year's theme is First in Show. Lego League's game is called Masterpiece. FTC's game is called Center Stage. The first Robotics Challenge game is called Crescendo.
Mm.
What does this game really have to do with music? Not much. Okay. However, all the parts, for the people that don't know, crescendo means mm-hmm. you to get louder.
Yes.
It's an Italian word. Okay. However, all the parts of the game are musically centered. The game pieces that you score are notes. In the first part of the game, notes are scored in the amp and speaker. We saw that on the video.
Yeah, we did.
At the end of the game, the robots are trying to get onto the stage where they can score extra points if they harmonize with another robot and hang on to the same chain. You get the idea. Not really. I got to be honest. But I love, this is really interesting, the harmonize thing. Now, is
yes.
that, I'm wondering if, so if you hear a pitch, you have to throw it into a different goal or whatever they're called, speaker, amp or speaker.
Maybe.
To make it, that would be really freaking cool.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
not only do you have to be scientifically inclined, you also have to be musically inclined.
I'm starting to geek out being a musician here.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So she says, yes, the kids are pretty amazing. And Roxy, I don't understand half of the things they are talking about on the mechanical side of things either, but I do understand the strategy that is going on with the game.
Okay.
And it is very interesting to see how all these teams have made different robots to address it. If anyone wants to watch Spectrum compete this week, they will be in the Curie division. There are eight divisions, and the winners of each division play for the world championship. The qualifying matches are all day Thursday and Friday, so that's today and tomorrow, and the division playoffs will be Saturday morning. The big championship playoff is Saturday afternoon. I don't have a link for the live stream yet, but it will be on Twitch under First Inspires. It's all one word. I think that's what it says. Thanks for including this robot mom for three Rocks Box segments.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that name.
All right, Roxy, what's next?
All right. Dear Choxy, to be clear, my team, Menace to Sobriety, was in an adult kickball league, but we took the post-game flip cup competition way more seriously.
Wait, what is the team called?
Menace to Sobriety.
Nice. Well played.
I know. Great. As for results, the photo of my team holding the bracket in victory didn't speak for itself. We prided ourselves on being the best flippers out there. Everyone competing in the weekly competition drank beer from pitchers purchased from the bar. Friendly games allowed people to drink water if they wanted. The general rule of thumb for amount was one legitimate gulp of beer. No tiny sips, but you didn't need to be chugging half or a full cup either. The format was 5-on-5, and I believe it was best of 7, but it's been over a decade, so I may be off on that. Best, episode 12. Oh, and to be clear, we reffed ourselves for Flip Cup. I'm sure we would have made accommodations for people who didn't drink, but it never came up, honestly. So that's Bobby Gottfried.
Yeah, fair enough.
That name is amazing.
I think he just wants to be known now as episode 12. I think he's a little jealous of episode 178.
I love it. Episode 12, Menace to Sobriety.
But you gave it away by saying it.
No. Oh,
and
he
sent that picture, but at that time, we didn't know what it, I mean, I knew what it was about, but I didn't know that that meant they won the tournament because I didn't know the name of the team, I don't think. Maybe he put it in the other, maybe, I'm a
Menace to Sobriety would also be a great band name.
Yes.
I think so.
Yeah, that's true. All right, here we go. Dearest Choxy. One of the kickball emails, maybe it was Tim Cree, about tearing his Achilles reminds me of a story my father-in-law told me about softball. Back in the day, companies had softball leagues. Well, I need to tell them they're still there. It's hard to picture, but not only did they have enough participants to field an entire league within the company, but they allowed drinking on the campus. Whoa. Back in like 1980, no joke, my father-in-law was on first base and he was the winning run. Then a hit into the gap and he's immediately thinking home plate. While rounding second, he pulls his hamstring. He's limping, but charging to third anyway. Then the ball is fumbled in the outfield and the bench is sending him home. He pulls his other hamstring rounding third. Now he's barreling out of control into home and the throw comes in and nails him in the face.
Oh, no.
Knocks him out cold. Urgent care for the bloody nose, lip, teeth, and x-rays on the hamstring shortly after. My mother-in-law listens to his retelling of the story, and she just shakes her head, looks up at me disgusted, and says, "He wasn't running as fast as he claims. He was drunk." Episode 178, ABTA HS. We will not do better the next time unless we get a third wheel that will keep that, quote, "That's what she said" balance. You people need balance. Okay, now, can we go back for a second?
Yeah.
He never says, was he safe or out? It just says it hit him in the face. I'm assuming he was safe.
Did it hit him in the face after he hit the plate?
He's barreling out of control into home, doesn't right. say, and the throw comes in and nails him in the face. That's all it said. And then it said knocks him out cold. So
I don't know.
Unless he passed out cold on home plate, my guess
I don't know.
Is the catcher went and got the ball after it ricocheted off his face
yeah.
and tagged him out.
I don't know.
I don't know.
But I do want to say quick, 178, you paint a really good picture with these stories.
Oh, yeah. I do appreciate the Al Bundy, I scored 4 touchdowns in a single game type of situation
yeah,
here for
right.
your father-in-law.
Wow.
But
both hamstrings in the same play.
Could you throw in a PS? He was safe or he was out?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's
the littles are dying
part.
To know.
Oh, I'm sure. They're now going to be on bated breath.
Yep.
Because... future announcements. We don't know what's going on for the weekend yet. Mm-hmm. We're going to try and figure out what Tony's doing with Passover coming up.
Yep.
So we don't know when the next episode will be. We're
so
hoping
enjoy
to have,
this.
Yeah. We're hoping to have Ritz on for a Passover episode.
Yeah.
He texts me. He was like, so when's the Passover episode?
Right.
So I don't know that we've ever done a Passover episode.
Yeah, I don't know.
And since I botched it by wishing everyone a happy Passover, about a month ago, you know, we're going to try
it's
to make
okay,
up for
Chuck,
it.
Okay, Chuck, we're
so,
dopes.
Anyway.
Hopefully they still love us.
Hopefully. Roxy, that's all the time we have. Let's get out of here. Tell everyone how they can get in touch with us.
Go to our website, loyallittlespod.com. Everything you need is over there.
That's it. That's all you need. And please remember, if you do listen to us on Apple and iTunes, to give us a nice rate and review over there. We really appreciate it. And as always, Roxy, if you need a book,
go to aaronsbooks.com.
And the most important part is when you're checking out in the comment section,
don't forget to
use the code. Don't be a dope.
LL Pod. That's the code, people. Use it.
Bye. Oh, bye. No, bye. That's still not right. Bye.
Eat it, bullies.
Something about that stuff don't sit right with me. So I stayed at home watching bad TV. When they came back, I was fast asleep. Early in the morning, had a walk through town. This world's for sale, it's closing down. Man in a suit with slick back hair gave me £10 to a questionnaire. I picked a number from 1 to 10. How likely are you to come back again? And I drew a line between 1 and 5. Are you scared of being chair, dreaming of you, but you never there. Something about that stuff don't sit right with me. So I stayed at home watching bad TV. When they came back, I was fast asleep.
The Loyal Littles Podcast is produced by the WTFC Podcast Network and edited by Louis B. Crocco. And the Loyal Littles Podcast logo is designed and drawn by Eric Lonergan.
The Colossus of Clout.
Oh, yeah.